Then we go to accounting policies.
Yep, morning everyone. So the purpose of this meeting is for the board to decide whether the staff can begin the balloting process for the amendments IS1 and IFRS practice statement 2 proposed in the exposure draft disclosure of accounting policies. Agenda paper 20A discusses the transition requirements and the effective date of the amendments to IS1. Paragraphs 5 to 12 detail the analysis on the transition requirements for the amendments to IS1. We just wanted to clarify that while we've referred to both IS1 and IFRS practice statement 2 in our analysis, we've only done so to clarify that when an entity applies the amendments to IS1, they should also be applying the amendments to IFRS practice statement 2. It was not our intention to introduce any transition requirements or an effective date for the amendments to IFRS practice statement 2 specifically. So we recommend that the board amends the transition requirements proposed in the exposure draft to require entities to disclose material accounting policy information for the current period and disclose comparative accounting policy information if, applying paragraph 38 of IS1, it is relevant to the understanding the current period's financial statements. So our first question for the board is, does the board agree with the staff recommendation in paragraph 12?
Does anybody want to make a comment? Mary.
Yes, it's probably more a wording comment than a substantive comment. I agree with the intention of the change, and so I think appropriate to remove the statement that it should be applied prospectively. I don't like, even if we think we're being helpful, I don't like saying, by the way, we're pointing out that paragraph 38 of IS1 applies here, because every time we start reminding people in the context of an authoritative standard that otherwise applicable requirements are applicable, it starts raising questions about all the things we didn't mention. So, while to me a reminder like this might be suitable for a basis for conclusion explaining why we took out the comment about prospective application and the interaction with existing requirements, I don't like the idea of adding it back into the text of the authoritative standard.
Okay. Sue?
I agree with that comment from Mary. I think an observation and the basis, if we think it's helpful, would be good, but I don't think we want to elevate that because, of course, it's true that the requirements apply.
Any other comments? Okay. Does that mean...
Hans, could I just could I sorry, it's Rachel.
Yes.
Here. Could I just add a comment there? I don't think we would have any objections to going with Mary and Sue's suggestion of actually removing the explicit reference to paragraph 38 of IS1 from the recommendation. As they say, I think it's clear. I think if you apply the requirements, 38 applies, and so we could just mention something in the basis. So if people wanted to vote on the basis of removing that explicit reference to paragraph 38 from the recommendation, we would be happy to do that.
Okay. With that, who supports the staff recommendation in question one?
Mary?
Yes.
Okay, 12.
Thank you. Paragraphs 13 to 23 detail the analysis on the effective date of the amendments to IS1. In particular, we recommend that the board require entities to apply the amendments to IS1 to annual reporting periods beginning on or after 1 January 2020, with early application permitted. In order to align the effective dates of the amendments to IS8 and the amendments to IS1, as requested by stakeholders, we also recommend that the board change the effective date of the amendments to IS8, resulting from the Accounting Policies and Accounting Estimates Project, to annual reporting periods beginning on or after 1 January 2023, with early application permitted. Our second question for the board is, does the board agree with the staff recommendation in paragraph 23?
Nick?
Thanks, Hans. I'm not quite so convinced by this recommendation in terms of changing the effective date of the ISA amendment. When we first had the request from stakeholders to consider alignment, we were actually discussing three sets of proposals relating to accounting policies. One of which we decided to proceed with last month's discussions. Now, I think that one, together with the amendment to IS 8, were much more closely related than the amendment to IS 8 and the amendment to IS 1. In fact, those last two, which are, you know, we're still looking to proceed with, are quite different in nature. They're connected, but I think they're different. My sense is, the amendment to IS 8 around accounting policy changes and changes in accounting estimates could be made and implemented reasonably swiftly. We're just seeking to clarify those terms. Whereas the change in materiality in accounting policies, the changes we're making to IS 1, actually will take longer. The companies will be required to make much more investment. There's much more behavioral change there. So I think on balance, my preference would be to proceed as previously discussed with the amendment to IS 8, retaining the effective date of on or after 1st of January 2022, and to keep the effective date, proposed effective date to the IS 1 amendments as staff are proposing. I just don't see such a strong case for alignment as there perhaps was previously. Thank you.
Tadeo.
Thank you, Hans. I agree with the staff recommendation on paragraph 23, but I just want to confirm, I know that Siobhan had made a comment in the beginning, but that's just to clarify, as the practice statement is not a mandatory document, probably the wording is actually that it cannot be applied before the related amendments to IS-1, if IS-1 is applied early. Is it correct? Instead of saying required,
yes,
actually
it cannot correct.
Be applied. Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Mary?
I have a question about deferring. I think I'm where Nick is, basically. And the reason for that is, if we are not going to bundle them in the sense of saying you can't do one without the other, and I see the staff's reasons for recommending that we not hardwire the two together, then to me, I think we should get the benefits of publishing them together. So let's align the publication release, discuss them in the same package, but let's set the effective dates independently. And so for me, that would be not changing the effective date on IS 8, as Nick was saying. And personally, I tend to think we're being overly generous in terms of this, but I take your point about behavioral change, so I could live with the 2023 for the IS 1 change.
Sue?
I don't feel strongly on the date, although I do feel like we are being a bit generous in terms of giving so long for a change, which I don't think is going to have a huge implementation impact on people in terms of the accounting policies and estimates side of things. But I did want to comment on the wording on the practice statement. So I had a look at the, and I can't find it at the moment, but I had a look at the existing practice statement and the wording that we put in place, because we had the same sort of challenge in terms of working out what the best wording was when we first issued it, because it's, you know, not mandatory, so it's an unusual thing for us to draft. And I think the wording that we used there was that it was available from a particular date. So I wonder whether we should mirror that wording and say that this is available from the date that they apply the amendments to IAS 1. And so that would then link the dates of the two things and use the same wording that we used last time, which would seem, I think it's the same status as last time, so that would seem to make sense. So why reinvent the wheel? We'd just use the same words.
I see the staff nodding in agreement.
Yes, yeah. It's definitely.
Okay. Having heard this discussion, can I see who agrees with the staff recommendation?
Should we vote in two parts? So the first is on the, because there's two separate aspects of this question, isn't there, Siobhan? Yeah, I think we should vote in two parts.
Okay, the first part being as worded in paragraph A, 23A. Can I see?
Francoise? Okay, that would be 12.
And then the recommendation about the effective date. 23B.
Seven.
Okay. That is a majority, right?
That is the majority, no. Yep.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Moving on to agenda paper. So agenda paper 20B summarizes the due process steps taken in the project and asks the board whether the staff can begin the balloting process. Our first question is, does the board agree with the staff recommendation not to re-expose the amendments?
Can I see who's in agreement? Okay.
12.
All right, then are there any people who want to dissent? Françoise?
We can't hear you, Françoise.
I was saying that I'm still considering dissenting and that the final decision is still to be made.
Okay. Anybody else? No. Are we satisfied that the due process requirements have been met? And finally, do we give permission to start the balloting process?
Twelve.
Okay.
Thank you.